A lot of people say that they don't read the Bible because they don't understand it. And as a Christian, I feel like it's my duty to teach it to you. Welcome to the Ghetto Bible Tales. I'm your host, Jerrica, and here we talk about biblical and spiritual things in a comical yet understandable way. We're going to learn, but we're going to laugh too. So grab your Bibles and your sense of humor and get ready for this. What's up, y'all? It's your girl Jerrica, and I'm back with yet another Ghetto Bible Tale. And today we're going to talk about Jacob and Esau and why God hated him. So get ready for this one. All right, y'all. Now, before we get into the story of Jacob and Esau, we must first discuss the rules of context. I already have a video dedicated to that that explains it better. I'll leave a link to that video in the description box, but for the sake of this video, we're just gonna run through them real fast. Rule number one is language. The Bible wasn't originally written in English. It was originally written in ancient Hebrew and ancient Greek. Keep that in consideration when you are studying. Rule number two is history and culture. The history and culture of the Bible is of ancient Israel. Please don't apply your modern day culture to this Bible. The rules are different. It ain't gonna work. Rule number three, read the Bible as a whole. From beginning to end, Genesis to Revelations, this is a cohesive piece of work, and you should read it as such. The final rule of context is the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Lord your God, ask him to bestow his Holy Spirit upon you so that you may gain understanding of this Bible. Now, once you gain an understanding of the rules of context, we can proceed on in our story. This was requested by somebody, and I don't remember who it was. I'm sorry. So if it was you, just say so in the comments. I didn't write it down. I'm terrible. I should have wrote it down, but I'm sorry. This video was requested by somebody. But anyway, the story of Jacob and Esau takes place in the book of Genesis chapter 25. So the book of Genesis 25 starts with the death and genealogy of Abraham. The importance of this part is to show you how, despite these kids being outside kids, they were still blessed. So when you go and read it, it names out all of Abraham's kids. Abraham had other children other than Isaac and Ishmael. There were other kids. And so the beginning of Genesis 25, it names out all those children. It names out how they're blessed and blah, 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 blah. So like I said, the importance of it was to show you that even though they were not the chosen ones, they were still blessed. And that conversation is going to pop up again in this story. So Isaac was the son of Abraham and Sarah. He was God's chosen. And that is who God wanted the genealogy of his people to go through, which was Isaac, who was Sarah's son. And y'all know, Abraham had another son named Ishmael. And for some reason, people like to think that Ishmael was hated by God, and he was not, actually. He was not hated by God, and he was blessed just as much. But anyway, Isaac is God's chosen, and Isaac marries Rebekah, and Rebekah becomes pregnant with twins. During pregnancy, apparently, Rebekah's babies fight inside of her. And they fight so much that it's stressing her out. So she asked God, like, what's the problem? Why does it feel like a war is going on inside of me? Like, what the problem is? And God tells her that there are two nations in her womb. One will be stronger, and the older will serve the younger. This is what God tells Rebekah. Made sure to let her know that both of them gonna be the father of a nation, and that the oldest was gonna serve the youngest. And for those of you that don't know, Esau is the oldest and Jacob is the youngest. just in case you didn't know. So she gives birth to the twins. Like I said, Esau is the oldest, and Jacob is the youngest. The Bible describes Esau as red and hairy. So a lot of people like to assume that that means that he's a ginger, like he has red hair. I feel like it could possibly mean that his skin tone was redder. Like he could have like a red skin tone and that he was a very hairy child. That's what my perception of it is, that he was red skin toned and hairy. And it describes Jacob as the, it just describes Jacob as the heel catcher. So they're named after their attributes, Esau meaning red and hairy, and Jacob meaning heel catcher, because when the children was being delivered, they pulled out Esau, and Jacob had caught a hold to Esau's foot, and he came out when they pulled Esau out. And so his name became Jacob, which means heel catcher or trickster, which is very true to his personality, because he is a little lying, little trickster guy. So, and Esau was red and hairy. So names back then, names really meant something. Like your name, your name was a part of your personality trait. Like if you were black, they probably would have named you black. Like traits and the way you look or things that you've done or feelings that you made people feel is what your name would be. Kind of like Jabez, his name meant sorrow. And it was because his mother had a hard time through childbirth and she named him accordingly. So specifically when these children are born, there's a verse that says, God loves Jacob but hates Esau. And that verse is in Malachi 1. And that was the question that was specifically asked to me. So in context, what's happening in Malachi is it's a prophecy to Israel. And like all messages from God, it start out by reminding them what he's done for them. So he starts by saying he loved Jacob and hated Esau, which means that he chose them and rejected Esau. It does not necessarily mean that God hates Esau, because he doesn't. It means that Esau was not chosen. So it's like, yeah, so it just means that Esau wasn't chosen. It doesn't mean that God hates him, because Esau was blessed. If anything, Esau was richer than Jacob was. He had, and Esau himself was the father of a nation. It just was a nation that God did not want to use. But it did not mean that he hated him. In Malachi, when you see that line where he said, I hated Esau, but I love Jacob. What he was saying was he was reminding Israel how he has chosen them from the beginning. And despite their constant BS, they had remained his chosen, as opposed to the Edomites. So God doesn't hate anyone. The terminology can better be explained as God chose Jacob and rejected Esau. And at the end of the day, only one was going to be chosen anyway. So that's why I'm just like, I don't understand why people try to make a big deal out of it. It's only one person that's going to be chosen. If there had been seven kids as opposed to just two, he was still going to choose Jacob. He was still going to be that one. So it's not hate, it's rejected. He chose Jacob to father the nation, because to be honest with you, neither one of them was about nothing. If we're going to be real, because Jacob was a liar and Esau, he wasn't no better. Neither one of them was that great of a person. But God was like, I'm going to roll with Jacob. And that's just what it was. He just chose Jacob. It's just that simple. It's, people make things hard and complicated when they don't have to be. It's that simple. God was like, I'm just going to roll with Jacob instead of Esau. And it is what it is. As the same thing like with Isaac and Ishmael, God blessed Ishmael with an overflow of love and prosperity. And he did the same thing for Esau, love and prosperity in his life. So Esau was good. And Esau fathered a nation, the Edomites. So, I mean, he was good. But anyway, As the story goes on, the boys grow and we learn that Esau is an outdoorsy type guy, which means he hunts, he builds, he's good with his hands, he works outside. He fishes, he works outside in the field, and because of that, he's close with his dad. So Esau is very close with Isaac in that they both work hand in hand together and they hunt together and they spend a lot of time together. Jacob, on the other hand, was very much an inside man. Jacob was not outside getting his hands dirty. He did not hunt or none of that. He stayed inside, he cleaned up, and he cooked. So, you know, that's a hit at gender roles, because Jacob wasn't outside hunting. He wasn't outside working in the field. He was inside cleaning the house and cooking with his mama. So because of that, him and his mama had a good relationship. And then Isaac and Esau had a good relationship. So one day, Esau came in from working, and he was very tired. He asked Jacob to fix him some stew that Jacob had been cooking. And Jacob said he will only fix him a bowl of stew if Esau gives him his birthright. So Esau whined about death and shrugged and agreed to give Jacob the birthright. And so Jacob fixed him a plate, and that was that. And the Bible also strangely mentioned that Esau despised his birthright. So now let's talk about what a birthright actually is. In those times, a birthright was considered something serious and sacred. So your birthright was, first of all, you become the head of the family. Second of all, you become the spiritual leader of the family. You handle all the business in the family affairs. You take over all the money. You take over all the livestock. These things you are very much responsible for as the head of the household, and as the person who holds the birthright. And it also made you very important and the leader. It was typically given to whoever the oldest child is. And like in this case, Esau was the oldest. But the Bible may mention that Esau despises birthright. So I'm assuming he didn't want to be the leader of the household. Some scholars like to think that he wasn't all that spiritual, so he didn't want the burden of being the spiritual leader of the household. Could be true, I'm not sure, but he gave away his birthright so easy. Like, you gave away your birthright all because you wanted something to eat? Why would you, like, the birthright was everything. That's like, let's put this in now times, that's like your parents leave you a load of land and a whole bunch of money, and one of your siblings say, well, I ain't gonna fix you a plate of food unless you give me all your birthright. Give me everything they left to you. And he said, yes, because he was hungry. You really gave up everything because your stomach was growling. That's not a good thing. That's actually quite terrible. Also, though, the birthright determined who would inherit the covenant. Because y'all know God made the covenant with Abraham. And then Isaac became the leader of the family when Abraham died. So Isaac inherited the covenant. And then so Isaac would give the covenant to Esau, which was what his intention was, because Esau was the oldest. But Esau did not want that responsibility, clearly. So basically, y'all, once you look at this, Jacob schemed for something that was already his, because God had already told Rebekah that the oldest was going to serve the youngest, that they both were going to father nations, but the oldest was going to serve the youngest and the youngest would be the greatest nation. So he schemed against Esau for no reason, because God had already said that their birthright was going to be his anyway. So that goes to show, God be already having things worked out for us, and we always interject and mess it up, because he didn't even have to do that to his brother. He could just fix the man and play and let him go on, because at the end of the day, it was already his, and what God has for you, it is for you. Can't nobody take it away. Esau gave up his birthright. He did not care, blah, 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 blah. And he made the comment, I'm going to die, as if I'm going to die one day anyway, so that birthright don't matter. So he really didn't give a care about what he was inheriting. He didn't care. So like I said, God had pretty much already made the right decision by choosing Jacob, because if Esau can give up his birthright because he was hungry, there ain't nothing God can do with him. Like, really. There was nothing God could do with him. He can't work with that. God needs somebody that's willing. Esau wasn't willing. And because Esau wasn't willing, he was rejected. And God already knew this because he lives outside of time. So because of that, Esau is rejected. Jacob is chosen. Because Jacob, throughout the entire Bible, he is willing. Esau was more concerned with his physical satisfaction as opposed to the spiritual. He was more concerned with eating and feeling his good as opposed to eventually becoming the spiritual leader of his people. He didn't care. And God can't work with it. And that's how a lot of us are. We choose the physical over the spiritual. Esau did not want to be the leader of his family because he felt like the spirituality was going to be a burden. And then he made the comment, I'm going to die anyway, so it don't matter. God can't work with that. God cannot work with that. Whereas Jacob, on the other hand, was willing. I mean, Jacob was willing to scheme to get it. And God can work with it. Like, you have to have a willing spirit. No, Jacob's mind wasn't really in the right place because he was scheming, but he was willing to take it on. Whereas Esau was not. And God can work with you if you're willing. If you're willing to change, if you're willing to do what he asks of you, if you're willing to choose him, then he will choose you. And in this instance, Esau did not choose God. And because Esau did not choose God, God did not choose him. He chose Jacob. So again, I want to reiterate that God, and also rules of context go into play when we're talking about the translations of the Bible, when it was said that he hated him. If we were to translate that to now, it would be rejected him. But back then, they couldn't think of no other word other than hate. But once again, I'm telling you, in context, it means rejected. Because if you look at Esau's life after all of this, very prosperous. He lived a great life. And even the nation that he fathered, God would go on to tell Moses and them not to even bother them because they are your brother, is what God told Moses and them. So that leads me to believe that God never hated Esau. God loves everyone. He doesn't hate anyone. But God rejected Esau because Esau rejected God. God chose Jacob because Jacob chose God. And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is Genesis 25. That is the story of Jacob and Esau. But you do not have to take my word for it. You can crack open your Bible and read it for yourself. I have done other videos on Jacob. As a matter of fact, I have a video from when Jacob and Esau end up reuniting with each other. And I think you should watch it. I'll leave a link to the video in the description box. Thank you for watching this video. Please like, comment, subscribe, and share with your friends. If you want to request a video, you can leave a comment in this video. You can leave a comment on a community post. You can leave a comment on my Instagram, Facebook, wherever. GhettoBibleTales.com. Go to the request section. You can leave a comment there. Make sure you follow me on all my social media, and thank y'all for watching. And remember that if you choose God, he will choose you. Until next time, peace out, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. All Ghetto Bible Tale episodes are posted on YouTube simultaneously in video format. You can follow Ghetto Bible Tales on all social media pages at Ghetto Bible Tales. You can also head on over to GhettoBibleTales.com and request a story or topic that you wish for me to discuss on this show. Once again, this has been your host, Jerrica, and this has been the Ghetto Bible Tales.